Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are studying this week the gifts and the callings of God. And specifically, we are going to focus today on the gifts of the Spirit, or the nine spiritual gifts, beginning with one of the revelation gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." God does not want us ignorant in the church today about the gifts of the Spirit. In verse 4, we read, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, God, wills." God does not want us ignorant about spiritual gifts, and it was never His intention that the spiritual gifts cease to function in the church or in the body of Christ. And yet today, many churches do not allow the moving of the gifts of the Spirit, perhaps because they have seen abuses in the past or a misrepresentation of the spiritual gifts or people claiming to have gifts that truly, they were not operating in the Holy Spirit, perhaps in another spirit, but not the Spirit of God. Nonetheless, we're not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. God wants us to pursue spiritual gifts. We're told earnestly desire, or another translation says earnestly covet spiritual gifts. God wants us as believers to pursue the gifts of God because, as He said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God distributes them for the profit of the body of Christ. It's given by the Spirit to each one for the profit of all. And we are told that every person has been given a gift from God. We know this is a biblical principle. God wants us to pursue the spiritual gifts, and yet it's up to the individual believer to seek the Lord and to diligently pursue Him for the operation of the gifts in each of our individual lives. But it's important to study the Word to see how these gifts are supposed to operate in the body of Christ. Today, I'm going to talk about what is often referred to as the revelation gifts. If you take the nine gifts of the Spirit, which are listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you could break them down into three groupings. One, which we would call the revelation gifts, that includes the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discernment of spirits, the utterance gifts, and then the power gifts. We're going to talk about the revelation gifts today and specifically about the word of knowledge. I'll give you a definition for this word of knowledge, and this is a definition I believe is accurate and has been given by others who are more biblical scholars than myself, but a supernatural revelation of an existing fact, either past or present, by the Holy Spirit to an individual in which there's no natural means of having this information. So you could say the word of knowledge is God revealing a fact that exists either in the past or present by the power of God to a person in which the person could have had no natural way of knowing that information. This could be revealed to an individual in a number of ways, including through a dream, a vision, an impression in the person's spirit, an angelic messenger, as we see in the New Testament examples I'm going to share with you, or just from the voice of God speaking to the person. Let me give you some Old Testament examples first of all. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20, and then in chapter 10 and verse 2, we see the prophet Samuel receiving a word of knowledge regarding the lost donkeys which Saul had been searching for. And he informed Saul that the donkeys had been found and that his family was now worried about him. Now, the prophet Samuel had no way of knowing, first of all, that the donkeys that belonged to Saul's family were lost. They did not have telephones, telegraphs, faxes, email, or any other electronic manner of communication in that day. And Saul's family was quite a distance from where Samuel resided. So God himself gave a word of knowledge, which is simply a supernatural revelation of an existing fact, to the prophet Samuel in order to tell Saul that the donkeys, which he had been searching for many days, had been found, and that now his family was worried about him. And that's an example of the word of knowledge. And it had a purpose, and the word of knowledge has a purpose from God. It will either reveal knowledge to comfort someone, to encourage someone, to reassure someone, to assist in the recovery of lost property or persons, or to expose wrongdoing, or to reveal danger, which we will see as we continue with these examples from the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 to 27, we see the amazing story of the prophet Elisha. Now, Elisha had one of the most powerful gifts of the word of knowledge operating that we see in the Bible. We see him operating this gift in the Old Testament more than any other figure. In this particular passage, it's the story where his servant Gehazi ran after Naaman's chariot, lied to him, and took clothing and money in Elisha's name. Naaman was the servant of the king of Syria, who had come to have his leprosy healed, and Elisha had given him instructions, and indeed Naaman was healed of his leprosy. But not only that, Naaman offered him money, clothing, gold and silver. The prophet refused it. He said, "No, just go." He wouldn't take a thing from him, but his servant was a little greedy. Ran after Naaman's chariot a little while later, lied to him, saying that he had suddenly had company he wasn't expecting and he needed some money and clothing. Well, God showed this word of knowledge to Elisha, and when the servant Gehazi came back, the prophet was able to say to him, "Where'd you go?" And of course, Gehazi, "Oh, nowhere, nowhere." But instead, the prophet who had seen in the spirit, had that revelation of the word of knowledge about what really happened, said, "Well, didn't my spirit go with you when you went up to the chariot?" And he had gotten that from God. He had no way of knowing this had occurred, but he knew from God that his servant had gone and lied and taken these items from the Naaman, the Syrian. This word exposed the wrongdoing of his servant, and you could say it exposed the wrongdoing of someone who's in the ministry, because Gehazi was a servant to Elisha the prophet, so he was, you could say, in a helps ministry position, and this exposed wrongdoing in someone who was in the Lord's ministry. Some New Testament examples of the word of knowledge include Acts 9, verse 10, where the disciple Ananias had a vision. Now, here's where a word of knowledge came through a vision. The Lord revealed certain specific facts to him. He told Ananias that Saul of Tarsus was in the house of a man named Judas on Straight Street. Well, that was a specific word of knowledge that Ananias had no way of knowing. Not only that, God informed him that Saul was blind, and that Ananias was to go lay his hands on him and he'd receive his sight. That was a word of wisdom, which we'll talk about in a moment. But God also informed Ananias that Saul was God's chosen vessel for God's purposes, despite what Ananias had heard about him, that he was a persecutor of Christians. But this word of knowledge about where the man lived, or about the house in which Saul of Tarsus was residing, the street that he was living on, That is all supernatural revelation of information he couldn't have known on his own. It was for a purpose. God wanted him to minister to Saul. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we see where a word of knowledge was given to Joseph in a dream, in which an angel appears to him and tells him an important fact about Mary, which he could not have possibly known without supernatural revelation. The angel in the dream told Joseph, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was getting ready to quietly divorce her or put her away. They were engaged, and not marry her. But because of this word of knowledge coming through a dream and through the angel in the dream, he was able to do the will of God. God will reveal a word of knowledge to comfort a person, to encourage a person, to reassure a person, to expose wrongdoing, or to reveal danger. I will give you one personal example where this operated in my life. I had a very vivid dream, and in the dream I saw a friend of mine who lived many hundreds of miles away. And in the dream, I saw that this friend who was receiving marriage counseling from a particular individual was in danger of falling into an emotional relationship with the counselor that she had. Now, I had no way of knowing this information. They were hundreds of miles from me. I was aware she was in marriage counseling, but that was all. The Lord showed me that. I called her the next day, told her this is my dream. And in that dream, I was able to warn her of potential danger for herself because of this situation. So God will give a word of knowledge to warn of danger, to expose wrongdoing, to help, to comfort, to encourage, or to reassure. And it's a powerful gift, and God wants the church walking in the fullness of the revelation gifts today. So continue with me tomorrow as we continue to study the revelation gifts of the Spirit and see what gifting God has placed in your life. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.